Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
All right. Well, it's my pleasure to welcome Andre Reed to the show. Andre, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. I'm a little awestruck because when I was a young broadcaster, I started in Buffalo, and man, covering you and Jim and Ken Hull and all the guys, man, that was so much fun. Just there's no way you remember me, but I certainly remember covering those teams, Andre. And let me just tell you, it's cool to have you on. It was awesome to see you put on that gold jacket, and you were just one of the coolest dudes. I know that's not a great way to probably start an interview, but I just want to let you know you're one of those guys to me. So,
I think you're absolutely right. I was and still am one of the coolest.
No doubt about it.
You know,
I lost a lot of things, but my coolness has always been there.
There's no doubt. You know what I love covering those teams is the swagger, just the confidence that you guys had. Can you speak on that and how important that was to make up a great team?
Man. But nothing like some 90s swag, man. Nick knows about that. That 90s swag was a little different than it is now. You know, when we scored and we scored a touchdown, we didn't meet everybody to a certain point in the end zone and have our own choreographed thing going on. We would meet and, hey, thanks, you know, hey, man, that's awesome. Let's get another one. You know all that sayings, man. But now, you know, these guys are looking for deals, man, outside of football. They're looking to get maybe Dancing with the Stars or something. I don't know. But it's a different game. Nick knows this. It's a different game. It's a different kid. And the game of football has been always sensationalized through the media, through different avenues. Back in 1985 when I came in the league, there was no such thing as the internet. Maybe the word came out, but it definitely isn't like it is now, where you not only you can market yourself, but you can get yourself in trouble too. So it's a different world, and a lot of these kids are taking advantage of it, and the game has been enhanced because of that. And there's more, you know, there's always been great coverage of the game, but if you bring social media and all this other kind of thing into the play, it's great for the players on the good and on the bad side.
All right, Andre, I spent a short period of my NFL career in then Ralph Wilson Stadium. So I know how difficult it can be playing in Buffalo, but I wonder from your standpoint, because there is a belief here in Denver that, you know, going into that stadium is not going to be as tough. Why is it so tough to play in that environment?
Well, you know, I played in Denver, I think, two or three times over my career, and the first thing they tell you is, man, the altitude, bro, it's going to be crazy, man. You better get your breath in right now. I mean, you know, stuff like that where you needed a psychological edge. And I think Denver, the Broncos used that edge for a lot of years. Maybe they still do. Maybe they don't. I don't think players really look into that. But Buffalo was just a different bird, man. I think every team in the NFL has fans that are passionate about their team. They're so wanting their team to do well. And Buffalo is just, you know, when you say Buffalo, they go, oh, Buffalo. They say it in that way. Like, where's Buffalo at? Well, it's Buffalo. But Buffalo had some of the greatest fans, and they still do. And we used the weather to our advantage. That was our advantage of when teams came in, especially during this time of the year where it gets colder and you never know if it's going to snow and all that kind of stuff. So we used that to our advantage. But what a great atmosphere to play football in. And I was fortunate enough to play there for 16 seasons. Mm. And to play with the guys that I played with, not only did that just hype it up even more, but it was a team for me of all time. There were some guys that I just cherished as not only as football players, but as friends. And still now that we reminisce when we get together, just like other players do with their teams about the good times you had when you played, and there was no better time for me than to be in Buffalo during that time.
Well, Andre, curious to get your thoughts on this current Buffalo team. You know, let's just start with the quarterback, Josh Allen. He's been lighting the world on fire the last 7 weeks. I guess I'm curious, when you watch him play, do you feel like Buffalo's finally found another franchise quarterback?
I think they have. And I saw that in Josh last year. And when I met him and talked to him at the Super Bowl last year, coming into this year, and I said to him, I said, you're the main man there now. And they're going to build around you in some way. And you have to be able to keep up with what they're building or how they're going to do it. And I think this year he has not only matured on the field, but I'm sure he has matured off the field as a player, as a person. And when he walks into that stadium, you know, they're looking for him to lead the team, whether they're up, whether they're down. And that's the guy they look at. And I'm sure he always gets the question of, oh, can you be like Jim Kelly? Can you be like Jim Kelly? Just be like Josh Allen. That's all. Just be like Josh Allen and go out there and make sure the guys have confidence in you every time you get behind center, because that's who they're looking to. And this year, I've seen not only maturity, like I said, on the field, but I've seen a confidence in him that a second-year guy has to take that next step in order, if you want to be an elite quarterback, if you want to be talked about in that kind of manner, you have to show that on the field. And I think he's done a pretty ample job of doing that this year so far. They're 7-3 for a reason. And they talk about their schedule and all this other stuff. You still got to win football games. Nick, you know it's hard to win in the NFL no matter who it is. It's hard to win. And the Bills they don't have the explosive receiver. John Brown's having a great year. But they don't have the guy you can say, well, that guy every game is going to be a factor. You know, it's not going to be like an Odell or Jarvis or a Michael Thomas or a Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. All these, you know, guys up in the – right now, they're very high in catches and yards. But they have people around them that have really stepped up, especially some of the veterans. Their offensive line is a lot better than it was last year. And Josh is not running as much as he did last year. And I'm sure that's, you know, a big plus for the coach. I don't want to see him running around too much because one of these times you're going to get caught. And I think the team has matured in that way. You know, defensively, they could be a little better in some areas as they go on. I think their secondary has been a bend but don't break kind of secondary all year. I think Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde are two of the top five, maybe top ten safety tandems in the league. And I'm sure they make a lot of calls. Ed Oliver, they've been talking about him in the news. You know, is he a bust? Is he this? Is that? You know, you got to let guys work into systems and let guys, you know, take some falls here and there. I think he's going to be a great player for them. The veterans that they have, they keep it together. And a very opportunistic team. Again, they don't have the guys that are going to make that play every single game and turn the whole complexity of the game around. So they just got to take chances and make sure that when they do have the chance, it's their best chance. Mm. It's their best effort to put points on the board, because they're not going to score 25, 30 points a game, you know, like the Chiefs or like the Saints or some of these other teams that score a lot of points. But they do have to be able to be stout in certain situations where they don't let the game get away.
Good stuff. Nice breakdown, Andre. That was awesome. Andre agreed with us. You know, I was telling the fellas, Andre, that the other day Von Miller got the entire team to a steakhouse nearby. And I said, oh, well, you know, I remember when Jim Kelly used to have all the fellas over to his house. And that seemed like that was a regular kind of important thing when you look at it. Can you speak on that?
Well, you know, camaraderie in this league is very hard to get. And you see guys every year, and sometimes the guys that you see every year aren't going to be there the year after. This is a turnaround league, and it's good to develop that rapport off the field as well as on. And I'm not saying you can hang out with your best friend, or not everybody's going to be a best friend, but on Sunday you need to have that guy. That's the guy you need to help you win. And I think we developed that for years because Jim had a certain way to get us all together, regardless if it was Friday after practice, just to go to the local place, we call it the Big Tree, and just hang out and talk about the week or talk about the last game. And if something did not go right, we had the players that were very vocal during the week that would talk about, you know, hey, we have to do this. This person has to get better. I got to get better. And that really develops that kind of camaraderie and confidence on the field that you have every Sunday when you strap it up.
Well, great stuff, Andre. You guys got anything else? I could talk to Andre Reed all day.
Well, Andre,
we go back to all sorts of Buffalo stuff if you want. But
Andre, I want you to take me back for a second.
Some of that stuff might have to be censored, man. I don't know.
Yeah, we could talk about, like, it used to be hot on Allentown, and it went down to Chippewa Street now, and, I mean, now it's the pier.
Yeah.
Like, I just say, how?
You know what, guys? The great thing about Buffalo, everybody talks about Buffalo, and I said this earlier, and it's cold, and it's such a bad town, and, there's nothing happening there. You know what? There's a lot happening in Buffalo people don't know.
Yeah.
Those fans are so passionate. They're so passionate about their team that you guys know they show up with no shirts on and it's 10 degrees.
Right.
They don't do that in Green Bay when it's cold. Do that in
soft in Green Bay.
When it's cold in Green Bay, you better have some clothes, bottom line. And I think that has become kind of the signature stamp for those fans, that they're going to be there regardless. Bills Mafia travels well with their team. I know you guys know about Bills Mafia. They were down in – I was in Nashville about a month and a half ago before they played there in Nashville. And I told I was at a place having some dinner, and I told one of the guys, a couple of the guys, I said, look here, in 2 weeks, y'all better be Bills fans coming through here because they're taking over. And they did.
Mm.
30,000 fans. And maybe 2 Titans fans there. So they know how to travel. They're a great traveling fan base for their team. And they believe that something's going to happen. And Buffalo, we've always got the bad rap. Oh, you guys went to 4 Super Bowls, you didn't win.
Mm.
But whoever went to 4?
Nobody.
There ain't too many guys. Who went to 1? There ain't too many guys have done that either. So I think as the years go on and on, and they always talk about those teams of the 90s that I was on, they realize not only how hard that was, but how do you get all those guys collectively together every single year with the same purpose and the same drive and then go out and do it? That's pretty hard to get. And I was fortunate enough to be in that locker room and on those teams that we had never quit attitude. And would I love to get a ring? Yeah.
Yes,
it would go good with my Hall of Fame ring, no doubt about it. It wasn't meant to be.
Yeah,
and I don't call my career a failure because of that. Team wise, yes, I would have loved to get a ring. Would I trade my Hall of Fame ring for a Super Bowl ring?
Mm.
No. Years ago, somebody asked me that: would you trade your Hall of Fame ring and your jacket and your bus for 1 Super Bowl ring? And it's kind of like a double-edged sword question. You're going to get cut on both ends. If you do, they're going to say this. If you don't, they're going to say this.
Mm.
But at this point now, I wouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame without those teams and without a quarterback and without a great defensive player in Bruce Smith and Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, and all those guys. So I say, you know what? I would love to have – maybe they can give me half of one. That'd be good.
You know,
I think I'm very fortunate that, again, I played with 7 Hall of Famers, a Hall of Fame coach, owner, and GM. So that's right. Like a mic drop for me.
That is awesome. That is awesome. You know, I do have a trivia question that stumps everybody, but I bet you'll get it. What NFL player – lost 5 Super Bowls in a row? He was on an active roster and lost 5. So it's kind of a trick question because it's one of your teammates who went on and made the Super Bowl the next year, was on the roster, and lost as well.
Probably Cornelius.
No. Gale Gilbert.
Gale Gilbert.
Right.
Okay, Gale Gilbert. Well, Mike Lotus played in a bunch of them.
Well, he won, though. He came to the Broncos and won.
Well, Cornelius played in 5, too.
Who did he play for?
He played for Atlanta.
Oh, and he lost too. Oh, that's terrible.
He lost to the Broncos. He lost to the Broncos. Ironic, the Broncos. He lost to the Broncos. Ugh. Cornelius played in 5, and Gale Gilbert played in 5.
Are you ticked off like BB 1-1 and
BB 1-1?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I talk to Beebs every now and again. I see him, and I'm so glad for him. Because it's not that I'm saying he went to the right team at the right time, but he kind of did. I mean, the
right.
Packers were the best team in football at that time with Brett Favre, and they had all those guys. And Reggie White coming down the hill on you. I mean, that was tough. But I remember when he got his ring, and they won the Super Bowl, I was like, man, I got to get a hold of him just to congratulate him. And here's the ironic thing. John Beebe says, you know what? If I can give everybody in Buffalo a part of this ring, which I believe they are a part of this ring that I got.
Right.
That's what Buffalo meant to him. Mm. Those teams. He thought about all the players that we went and didn't win, and he wasn't selfish that he talked about his being on that team and winning. That's just how he was and how he is.
Good stuff. Mike Lotish just told everybody to stick it. I'm in Denver now when it rings. And, joking. Man, I feel like I'm hogging everything here because it's just he's one of my heroes here. So
I mean, there's so many things that I can ask him. I mean, let's go back
Man, hey, I got about 5 minutes. Go ahead, man.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go back to 1990, September 30th. Right. The Broncos are leading 21 to 9 at that point. How did you guys score so many points to get back in that game to win it in 70 seconds?
That's a good question, man. I remember that game. I think we were probably top five in the league in offense that time. At that time, I think we led the league in total offense for like 3-4 years in a row. And Denver, now mind you, Denver at that time, Elway was still playing. They had a pretty good defense. Carl Mecklenburg was still playing. Steve Atwater, you had Tyrone Braxton, you had all these great players that Denver had, and I think they were maybe top five, top six in the league in defense at that time. So they got up on us quick, and here's the resiliency that we've been talking about, that we never quit. I think we got a block punt, and then an interception, and then if you ever played in Buffalo, when the floodgates open, bro, you better have a wrap. You better have a raft, man. You better have something that you're going to hold on to, because you're going to get washed away. And that's what happened. And I think the momentum, and Nick knows this, if momentum is the son of a gun in sports. And once that starts going, and if you can't keep up with that momentum, then you get washed away. And that's what happened.
Man, that was one heck of a game, one of many that you guys really rallied in Ralph Wilson Stadium and came back. I mean, the one with Frank Reich against the Houston Oilers, I remember that one as well. So I view Buffalo as being one of the tougher places to play in the NFL. So I know what the Broncos are walking into this weekend. Yeah. It could be a hornet's nest. But, man, it was great having you on, man.
Absolutely.
I love talking to you.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And one thing about this game, you know, the Bills are 7-3. The Broncos are, what, 5-5, right?
No, well, we would love to be 5-5. We're 3-7.
Oh, you're 3-7. Oh, I gave y'all two wins.
Yeah, thank you.
That's all right.
But here's the thing. At this point of the year, okay, and I'm a very philosophical guy. People don't really know that. But as you go through the year, you're going to go through some ups and downs. There's not too many, unless you're the Patriots, a lot of times, you know, the Patriots are the Patriots. But there's going to be some ups and downs. Are you able to not only get on top of the hill, but when you start going down, are you able to climb back on it and get back up there? And right now, the Bills, they're talking about their schedule, and it's soft, and it's just, 7-3 is 7-3. It doesn't matter. So the Broncos right now are looking to spoil. They can play spoil. Because the Bills next week, they got a short week. They play Dallas on Thanksgiving. And it's hard to go into Dallas, win on Thanksgiving Day, 4 days later. So this is an important game for them psychologically. Now, they're fighting for a wild card. There's a lot of teams still in the mix. And their next 5 out of 6 games are pretty tough. They got I don't know who they have. They have Broncos this week. Then
Cowboys, Ravens.
Dallas.
Yeah.
They got the Ravens.
Right, Patriots.
And the Patriots. Yeah, so it's a nice little tough road for them to get through. So if they win 3 out of these next 6, they're 10-6 maybe. They're 10-6. You're still fighting for a wild card. You're not going to win the division, but you got to look at the other teams and what they do.
All right. Well, listen, great stuff. We'll tell John Mobley that you said hi, the Kutztown.
Yeah, it's funny because I just was at my home. I went back to my college, and They had named the stadium after me. The stadium after me.
Wow! Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I'm the only guy that has a stadium, a field, a street, and a park named after.
Wait, what does Mobley have named after him?
I don't know. I was trying to get him there to Kutztown to find out what's named after him. I don't know. I was like, dude, did anybody name anything after you? But, you know, Mobley, there's another guy. You just a great player in a great system. You know, when Denver won a Super Bowl that year, or two Super Bowls, John Mobley was like the X factor in that defense. He could run. He could cover. Because he came out of college as a safety. He was a safety/linebacker. So the Broncos made him an inside linebacker where he could roam a little bit, get out in space. And they used him perfectly. That's not like a D coordinator, don't they?
Yeah. Well, hey, man, Andre, we really appreciate it. Nick, that's awesome that you guys set this up, so we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Andre. Appreciate it, man.
It's great to reminisce, man, and you know, to reminisce with former players that are, you know, once you're in the NFL, you're part of the NFL the rest of your life. So it's always good to talk to you, Nick.
All right, thank you, man.
All right, thank you, Andre.
You got it, brother.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.